Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
The feds and the power to regulate social media? I'm David Brancaccio from Washington, D.C. today. The Federal Trade Commission wants to bar Meta platforms from profiting from data collected on minors. Now, in turn, Meta, the Facebook Instagram parent firm, is suing the FTC for allegedly violating the Constitution. The case is another challenge to the powers of federal agencies in general, which the Supreme Court justices this week seemed prepared to limit. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Yeah, Meta's lawsuit is challenging the use of administrative law judges, David. These are in-house, independent judges that decide civil matters at federal agencies. Now, in this case, at the Federal Trade Commission, it's a question of whether the FTC can reopen a consent agreement from 3 years ago in which Meta paid a record $5 billion fine for privacy violations. The FTC is claiming that Meta is not fully complying with that agreement and has violated promises to secure the privacy of its younger users. The agency wants to make changes, including barring some data collection through virtual reality and imposing limits on face recognition technology. Meta's lawsuit is intended to block these changes. It says the FTC can't unilaterally alter the agreement, the 2020 agreement. It has to go through the courts.
I mean, this in some ways echoes a case at the Supreme Court that the court just heard, but one that had to do, I think, with the SEC.
That's right. The Securities and Exchange Commission. Oral arguments were on Wednesday, and the conservative majority on the court appeared ready to at least modify the use of administrative law judges there. We'll have to see if they end up chipping away at the practice.
All right, Nova, thank you very much. Entering December here, I can now tell you the stock market in November did quite well, at least using the indexes as a guide. The S&P went up 9% month just ended. The NASDAQ went up 10%. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
I mean, when you look at the stock indexes, and actually you also follow the bond market very closely, pretty good November.
Pretty good. It was the best month for bonds in 40 years.
And stocks, we saw the S&P go up 9%, the NASDAQ 10% in the month that just ended. I mean, this is the sense, conventional wisdom heard on the street, that the campaign of ever higher interest rates has come to an end. We're done.
Yeah, traders are absolutely convinced. No more rate hikes. There is a zero probability priced in at the moment. And in fact, they're also starting to think we could see rate cuts as soon as next March, thanks to data that adds up to, I guess you'd say, soft landing, right? Slower growth in the fourth quarter, and four of the last five inflation reports better than expected.
All right, nothing more to be said. Slam dunk, that's what's going to happen?
Well, I don't know. You know, I think it's a great story, right? But it's one that the foundation is slower growth in the fourth quarter. And so far, all we have is October data. And of course, October is the month when the UAW struck the big three auto companies for the first time, well, ever, all at once. And industrial production was absolutely hammered as a result. I think I'd wait until I had some November numbers before I definitively called the end of tightening.
Always hard to impress, Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial. Thanks for the briefing.
Thank you, David.
In early trading, the Dow is up 29 points to start the new month. The S&P is down 0.1%, the NASDAQ down 0.3%. At the UN Conference on Climate Change in Dubai, richer nations have now pledged hundreds of millions of dollars to help less developed countries deal with losses and damages from the changing climate. The BBC's Matt McGraw is in Dubai.
It's something that developing countries have been campaigning for 30 years. It's essentially a fund that will help them to cope with the impacts they're experiencing from climate change-related weather events right now. At the moment, a lot of developing countries do get climate finance, but it mainly goes to help them to transition away from using coal, oil and gas, to help them build wind tunnels or wind turbines and solar panels. It also helps them to build seawalls and other defences, so it helps them to mitigate and adapt to climate change. It doesn't help them with the impacts of climate change right now. And that's something that's been a sore point for a long time. It wasn't even allowed to be discussed at COP meetings over the last number of decades. Last year that changed, an agreement was reached, and today, in a really surprise move, countries agreed to set this fund up and get it going, and actually to put some money in it. Quite a significant chunk of money gone into it today. We expect more in the coming days.
Matt McGraw is environment correspondent for the BBC. Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
And this time, do they really mean it? Tomorrow, the band Kiss, you know, Beth, Rock and Roll All Night, that Kiss will play what it's calling its last ever show at Madison Square Garden in New York. The band has said its final farewell before on a tour more than 20 years ago. In music, you never know. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes looks at the business of saying goodbye.
58-year-old Andy Janoshka paid close to $1,000 for two tickets to see Kiss in concert this week.
But if you're going to see him, you want to feel the fire.
Like actual fire. The show has plenty of pyrotechnics. Janoshka has been a fan of the band since the 70s and was excited to bring his 24-year-old son to see them for the first time.
They say you never forget your first kiss. I've seen him a couple times. And I think at this point, that this is probably it.
And having just a few shows left also makes for good marketing, says Stephen Hayden, author of the book Twilight of the Gods, A Journey to the End of Classic Rock.
I think it's easier to justify a higher ticket price. It just changes, I think, the calculus in people's brains.
Many farewell tours can last years, and lots of bands do end up performing again. But Hayden notes older musicians will slow down at some point and do have a limited number of shows left.
It does become a more precious commodity.
For his part, Andy Janoshka says he's fine if this ends up not being Kiss's last tour.
I'd rather see him keep going than, like, die.
In other words, he doesn't mind if there's less of an exclamation point at the end of the goodbye and more of an ellipsis. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM American Public Media.